and welcome to Backyard and Beyond. And good morning to you, Carrie Williams.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. Hope you are the same. And I know you've been busy. I understand you've already done one radio program this morning. You're an early riser out there.
Not by nature, but yes.
when the job calls, I think it must be part of your goal to get the word out, because we were talking about your book called Eyes on the Prize, and it is about setting and achieving goals. So, Carrie, just a minute about you. Why did you write this book? What was the experience that led you to putting this book together?
Well, I'm a leadership coach based out here in Los Angeles, and so I work one-on-one with clients and corporations on helping them identify and set their own goals. And what I found was there are so many people who just feel like they're not great at goal setting. They feel like it's really difficult, and they don't have the time and the money to invest in working with a coach one-on-one, or they just don't have that opportunity. So I wrote Eyes on the Prize. So it feels like you have your own personal coach in your pocket to help you along on the journey, and it simplifies goal setting and takes you step by step. I purposely kept it short and sweet, so it's not a tome. It's 107 pages. So if you can't get through 107 pages, we might be in trouble.
We might be. And the other thing about the book is that it's sort of a workbook. I mean, you really encourage people not just to read this, but to follow through with the questions and activities that you put into each chapter to help you get to where you think you want to be.
I wrote it that way because we learn experientially. If it were as simple as me telling you what to do and you doing it, we would all be fabulously wealthy and fabulously beautiful and on vacation for the rest of our lives. But we learn through experience. So those questions and those fairly simple, they're not incredibly complex exercises to do along the way, help personalize the program for the reader.
And we'd all be 10 pounds lighter if we followed our goal, right?
Oh, more than 10 for me.
Yes. Now, you mentioned one of these things here just in a sentence or so ago of why people don't follow through. They may say, I want to do this and so on. But lack of time is one of the things that people give as a reason. I just don't have time to do all the things I need to do to reach that goal. Are there other excuses that we use?
We're professionals at creating excuses for ourselves. Lack of time is the big one. Lack of money is another big one. What if I try really hard and I can't make it happen anyway, or it's beyond what I can make happen? The fact of the matter is, the most important tool that you have when you are setting and reaching a goal is your mindset. And it's your mindset that when an obstacle falls in your path, because it always will, do you look at it as an excuse to stop, or do you look at it as an exciting challenge to get around?
Okay. A number of people, I think most of the people who are listening, maybe not everybody, but most of the people listening have set a goal, or at least they have said, I want to do something. Is that different, saying I want to do something, than actually setting a goal?
It is. And you can hear it just from the language. If I said to you, I want to be a millionaire, it doesn't sound like I'm going to make it happen, right? And I don't really believe it either. But if I said, I will be a millionaire, just in changing one word or changing the commitment level. So do you want it, or are you going to make it happen? That's the difference between a dream and a goal.
Okay. It seems to me, and I think you'd agree with this, that working a goal, setting the goal, and then working toward reaching it is work.
Yes, it is. I'm not going to lie and say that it's completely simple and it's not work. But the fact of the matter is, we all know that the things that are worth having in life take some effort. If it were easy, we'd already have it, and we wouldn't appreciate it.
That's true. We'd already have it. Now, one of the things that you kind of, I think, based your book on here is the word, or the letters that make up the word, great, G-R-E-A-T. And so I'd like to visit a little bit about some of those. The first one, the G, is genuine. What do you mean by setting a genuine goal?
So I mean that your goal has to be self-motivated. It has to be something you want before you'll put the effort into it. And it's really helpful if it aligns with your core needs and values. If it's a goal that somebody else gave you, like a boss or a spouse or a doctor, the odds that you're going to put the effort into it, if it doesn't align with your needs and desires, are really minimal.
Mm-hmm. Students whose parents say, we really expect you to get A's and B's or whatever, may not align with a young person's goal.
They may not. So the young person has to figure out what's important to them. Maybe planning a future is important to them, or maybe social standing is important to them. And there are ways to align that goal with social standing. For example, not with a student, but I have a client who is a sales rep, and his boss said, I want you to sell $150,000 this month. And my client came to me and said, Carrie, I'm probably going to lose my job because I don't care about those sales. And so we had to figure out what he cared about, which was connecting and helping clients. So that's what we focused on. We figured out if he connected and helped 150 clients a month, he would, as a byproduct, hit that sales goal. And he actually surpassed that sales goal by not focusing on the money.
So another one of these is reachable. And I think, I've done a lot of work with 4-H'ers, and 4-H'ers are really encouraged, not only encouraged, but so this is one of the things that you have to do, is to set goals. And often they say, well, I want to win a purple ribbon. Is that a reachable goal?
Well, here's the dilemma with that one, and I'm going to jump ahead to the T, which stands for totalitarian.
Okay.
Winning a competition is out of your control because somebody else has to pick you to be a winner, and you have to perform better than everyone else. So if your goal is to perform better than you performed last time, you can control that, right?
Right.
But if your goal is to beat everyone else in the race, you can't control that.
It's yes. There are some things we can't control in life, and we need to face those win facts.
And what happens is when we set a goal that we can't ultimately control, we put all our effort into it, and we don't reach the goal. Next time we try and set a goal, we just don't work as hard because last time it didn't work.
Mm-hmm. Another one of the letters is A. I've skipped one here, but affirmative, is I want to lose 10 pounds an affirmative goal?
It is in a couple different ways when I talk about affirmative. So to make this goal more affirmative, instead of I want, we would use commitment affirmative language and say I will instead of I want, right? So then we're committed to it. So it's a goal instead of a dream. But what we really want to do is create goals where we're approaching or gaining or learning something instead of losing or avoiding something. So a better goal than I will lose 10 pounds might be I will run a 5K, because you know that you'll lose 10 pounds if you train and run a 5K, but you can work towards something and gaining something instead of avoiding something or losing something.
I will fit into my clothes.
Right.
Is that more positive?
We're psychologically programmed to work towards a gain instead of avoiding a loss.
Okay. Then we kind of touched on totalitarian. And to me, that was sort of a surprise one, but you have to have a T. Talk a little more about that, because that sounds kind of negative. I mean, that word itself can sound kind of negative.
It does. And I have people come up to me and they go, Carrie, I don't want to be a goal Nazi. And that's not what I'm saying. I'm simply saying recognize if you have the power to make this goal happen, or if it depends on someone else to make it happen for you. A perfect example is I had a client walk my door, and they said, Carrie, my goal is to get married. And I literally started laughing because I said, oh, great, you're engaged. And they said, nope. I said, oh, you're dating. They said, nope. And I said,
wait a minute.
It's a goal completely dependent on someone else. Right? Someone
yes.
else has to fall in love, someone else has to propose, someone else has to marry you. So we want to make sure that it is something that we can actually accomplish, that no one else can take that goal away from you.
It's a much more work, and we've sort of said this, if you really want to set a goal and reach it, if you're really sincere, one of the things, well, your major work here is that it is work, but you help people get through those steps and figure out how they can get through those steps. How do we get the book Eyes on the Prize?
You can get it at Amazon.com. You can ask your local bookstore. They will order it. Or if you want an autographed copy, you can go to my website, which is eyesontheprizebook.com.
All right. And this is Carrie Williams, C-A-R-R-I-E, Williams, that we've been visiting with. And, you know, it's a great time. Any time is a great time to set a goal. But it seems like a lot of us at least think about at the beginning of a new year would be a good time to set a goal.
Right. About 85% of us set a New Year's resolution yesterday.
And how many of us are going to get that completed?
Well, about 5% of us. But your odds are higher if you read the book.
Okay. Eyes on the prize. Ways to set your goals and reach them. It would be a good gift for a young person. But there's great information here for anybody. And we want to thank you very much, Carrie Williams, for visiting with us about Eyes on the Prize.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Until next time, here's a line from a poem in the book by Burton Bradley. Start where you stand and never mind the past.